Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Currently we're doing the section on the obligation and virtue of Hajj. Yesterday we explained one principle that you get two types of ibadat. One is those ibadat that involve a person's body. So these are known as badani ibadat. So like for example fasting of a person performing salah. So what happens is here there is no substitute. We can't appoint someone else to perform salah on our behalf. We can't tell someone else, appoint someone else, that what you do is you fast for me. So this doesn't work. But however in mali ibadah there is some mush'at, there is some level of accommodation where a person, if he can't do it, or if somebody else offers one person, for example my zakat, if someone else comes and asks me what my zakat is, the amount, or I may request someone that discharges zakat on my behalf. So here this is allowed. Or for sadaqatul fitr, this is known as mali ibadat. So, or just nafil charity also. Somebody says, look, I want to contribute on your behalf. I want to make niyat for you. Or sometimes it may be qurbani. Somebody may tell one other person that if you allow for me, I want to slaughter one animal for you. So in these things, in mali ibadat, here there is wus'at, there is accommodation. That one person can do it on behalf of another person. And Hajj also, it is allowed for one person to do it on behalf of another person. That is known in Hajj Badal. So long as the person that is appointing another person, that person is not in a position to do it himself. If he can do the Hajj himself, now it won't be correct for him to appoint someone else to do it on his behalf. Or if the person passed away. If the person passed away, and now either one of two things can happen. He could have made wasiyat before he passed away, that from my estate, some money must be given to someone to perform Hajj on my behalf because I didn't perform Hajj. So then what happens is now it is necessary for the executors to honor this person's bequest, his wasiyat, and arrange for someone to perform Hajj on his behalf. Or a person could have passed away and made no wasiyat at all for it, and some family member, some friend, some well-wisher can make niyat to Allah that I'm performing Hajj, this person didn't perform Hajj, I'm performing Hajj, or I'm getting someone to perform Hajj on his behalf. The sawab must go to the particular deceased. So this is also allowed in Shariat. So these are few masail with regards to Hajj Badal, appointing someone to perform Hajj on behalf of someone else. Why it's important to know this before we do this few ahadith that we are doing today, is so a person understands the background and what is the circumstances when one person can appoint another person to do Hajj, or a person passed away and someone else performs Hajj voluntarily, or by honoring a person's bequest and performing Hajj for the deceased. An Laqit ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu annahu atan nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqala inna abi shaykhun kabirun la yastati'u al-hajj wala al-umrah wala al-dha'na qala hujja an abika wa'atamir rawahu abu dawud al-tirmidhi wa qala hadithun hasanun sahihun. Yesterday we did a hadith that a woman came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that my father is an old man and he cannot remain firm on the conveyance on the animal. So can I perform Hajj on his behalf? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes. That was one hadith. Today's hadith, Hazrat Laqit ibn Amir radiallahu anhu narrates that he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, my father is an old man. He cannot perform Hajj, Umrah, or undertake a journey. So he can't perform Hajj, he can't perform Umrah, he can't even undertake a journey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform Hajj and Umrah on behalf of your father. So here we see that the person cannot make it. Perhaps he's paralyzed, perhaps he's completely bedridden, or may even be in a stroke, whatever condition he is. So here in this situation, one person can perform Hajj or Umrah on behalf of another person. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform Hajj and Umrah on behalf of your father. Anisa ibn Yazid radiyallahu anhu qal, hujja bi ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hajjatil wada wa ana ibn sab'i sinin rawahu al-Bukhari. Hazrat Sa'ib ibn Yazid radiyallahu anhu narrates that I was taken for Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the farewell Hajj when I was 7 years old. The farewell Hajj, famously known as Hajjatul Wada', where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj with approximately 120,000 of his Mubarak companions It was the Hajj, known as the farewell Hajj, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed. It was the one and only Hajj that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. So Hazrat Sa'ib ibn Yazid radiallahu anhu narrates that I was taken for Hajj. In other words, he was a young boy. I was taken for Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the farewell Hajj when I was 7 years old. So one masla comes out from this, that a person is nabaligh, he's a young boy, and he performs Hajj or he performs Umrah. Does now the obligation, when it comes to Hajj, does the obligation of Hajj fall off from him? And firstly, and secondly, is that reward granted to him? Is that Hajj valid? That he performed Hajj when he was not baligh. Now, is that Hajj valid? Now when he becomes baligh, when he becomes mature, does he have to still do the Faraz Hajj? That is the question that will come. So here he was 7 years old. Ulama explained that Hajj is valid. Person at the age of 7 or was now baligh, he performed Hajj, that Hajj is valid. However, when he becomes baligh, now it's still compulsory upon him to perform Hajj. So not to say that Hajj is not valid, the one that he did, it is. But when he becomes baligh, it becomes necessary now for him to perform the Hajj of Islam. That one compulsory Hajj still becomes necessary. Because the one he did was when he was not baligh. So in this hadith, he's explaining that I was 7 years old when I was taken for Hajj during the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that Hajj was valid. And as we'll see in the next two ahadith, that this is the principle that we apply. Whatever a person does when he's not baligh, as far as being obligatory upon him is concerned, when he's baligh, here we're talking about Hajj now, when he's baligh, then he still has to do it. He can't say, I've already did it when I was small or when I was young. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laqiya rakban bin ruha faqala man ilqawm qalu al muslimun qalu man anta qala Rasulullah farafa'at imra'atun sabiyan faqalat Ali hadha hajjun qala na'am walaki ajrun rawahu muslim. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met a group of travelers at Ar-Ruha. Ar-Ruha is a place that is 74 kilometers from Madinatul Munawwara on the road to Badr. We know there are two famous roads for a person to take from Madinatul Munawwara to Makkatul Mukarrama. One is that normal road that we use, the highways, etc. And one is the Badr road. Sometimes if a person gets the opportunity, it's nice for a person to take that Badr road. It's a very windy road, but at least a person will get to see the spot where the Battle of Badr took place. So anyway, this Ar-Ruha is a place that is 74 kilometers away from Madinah Sharif on this Badr road. So anyway, what this hadith is explaining, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met a group of travelers at Ar-Ruha and asked, who are you? They replied, we are Muslims. And they asked him, who are you? Imagine the simplicity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not moving like a king, although he was the king of the kings of this world, but yet the simplicity, that they didn't know who he is. He had no entourage, no flag, no big posters and banners boasting who he is. So they had to ask him, who are you? He asked him, who are you? And they in turn asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man anta, who are you? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I am the messenger of Allah. So a woman from amongst them, a woman from amongst this group, lifted up her child and asked, can this one perform Hajj? Lifted up her child and indicated towards the child, can this one, in other words, can this child perform Hajj? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes, and you will receive the reward. This hadith is mentioned in Muslim Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif and Bihaqi. Again, we keep this principle in mind, that the good action performed by a child is written in his favor, whereas no sin is written against him if he does a wrong action. Similarly, the reward of a child goes to the and are recorded in favor of the parent or guardian. So when a child does good, then the reward of it goes towards his guardian or his parent. But when a child does evil, this is the mercy, shafqat, and the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. When a child does anything wrong, that sin doesn't go to the guardian, it doesn't go to the parent. Allah is so kind. If the child does anything good, child is reading Quran Sharif, reading Salah, doing some good actions, Allah is rewarding the parent. Or if the parent is not there, the guardian of the child, Allah is rewarding. But when the child does anything wrong, Allah Ta'ala's kindness, he doesn't write any sin to the account of the parent or to the guardian. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Simple masail, but very important to keep it in mind. So a person remembers this thing and he fulfills it. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.